I invite you to be seated. So at the end of the Gospel of John, it says that there are many other things that Jesus did that were not written down. So I wonder if that means that we, when we go to be with Jesus, we get the appendix and we get all the other good stories. That would be fun, wouldn't it? So last Sunday was as good as it gets. Terms of being able to hear the testimony and baptize Austin McMahon last Sunday. As a matter of fact, Paula said she watched the video while she was in the airport in Chicago and just tears. I think the Lord met with us last week. So I'm a little nervous about today's sermon, you know, as well, kind of like, you know, what can I do? What can I say? So, you know, the longer I walk with Christ and the longer I live, the less I have, let's just say I think positive thinking can only take you so far. That's what I'm discovering. And so, you know, there are all kinds of songs that sort of capture that positive thinking mentality. If you can go back to Willie Nelson, who took a song from that group called The Whites, Keep on the Sunny Side. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way if you just keep on the sunny side of life. And then there's the Broadway show Annie. Just a disclosure, I can't stand the Broadway show Annie. But there's Tomorrow, Tomorrow. The sun will come up tomorrow. And then there's, of course, Hakuna Matata from that famous film, The Lion King, which is a phrase that means in Swahili, no trouble, no worries, take it easy. And then there was always Bobby McFerrin's song, right? Don't worry, be happy. Here's a little song I wrote. You may want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Do, 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 do. That's the good part, isn't it? That's why I've never been asked to join the band. So we open up the gospel story this morning when the disciples are behind locked doors because of fear. And I want to say that Hakuna Matata and Don't Worry, Be Happy wouldn't have helped them at all. Singing that the sun will come up tomorrow wouldn't have helped them at all. Behind locked doors for the reason of fear. We know something of what that's like, don't we? There are days when we lock the doors. We lock the doors of our heart. There's always something or someone, it seems, to cause us anxiety and fear. So it's not that we don't get that they were behind the locked doors at all. I do think when you read the story, if you don't think that that group of men and women had been traumatized, you haven't been paying attention. That band of followers had spent a whole week, one trauma after another. The world for them had become unsafe, unpredictable, unsupportive, and they must have sat there just feeling wounded. And so I want to try to lead us to a place where we might understand that the presence of Jesus, the presence of the risen Jesus, brings a power to lives that have experienced trauma. A power for healing and a power for transformation. I love the story. It says that Jesus shows up. He doesn't need doors to be unlocked to get in the room. He is fully living in this new dimension of eternal life. And so he appears and he says, "Peace be with you." And I want you to, I just don't think that was the Hebrew Aramaic version of "Hello, how are you?" Okay, I think a whole lot more was going on. When Jesus shows up in that room and he says, "Peace be with you," This isn't your normal street greeting for friends that you haven't seen in a bit. I think Jesus is speaking peace over them. I think Jesus is speaking peace into them. You see, when the psalmist says, let me read what the psalmist says so I get right. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. I think Jesus, when he speaks peace over them, he's speaking his presence into them. And this morning, church, I want to call us to a place where we hunger and thirst for the presence of Jesus in our lives in such a way that it's transformative. In this passage, we're also going to see that Jesus wants to send them on a mission. But I think the church on a mission that's not rooted in an experience of the presence is an impotent and unhelpful church. And what makes a difference in the book of Acts is that these men and women will experience the presence of Jesus and be filled with the Spirit, and it'll be transformative. So that what they're bearing into the world is the story of lives that have been filled with the presence, with the peace of God. You see, I think Jesus is speaking reality. He's saying, my brothers and sisters, you have watched the world traumatize you. And I want to call you back to a place where you see the world through the presence, through his presence, where you engage the world through the Father's heart and through the Father's eyes. And to do that, you need to receive my peace. Brothers, let the peace of God fill you because you're at peace with God. You see, everything that had ever happened to every individual in that room, which is true of all humanity, that we just break away from God and we end up separated and living in this place of distress and anxiety and fear, separated from the life of God. Jesus says, what I've done on the cross, what I've done by being raised from the dead, I can now bring you the full peace of God. And it's a peace that speaks to the brokenness of your soul and to the separation that you've experienced from God. And it's a peace that can reconcile and that can heal and that can fill you up and empower you and energize you with a whole new level of life. The peace of God be with you. And then he does this. He says, look at my hands and my side. And when he says that, it's this peace that comes from love. A love that was embodied to the point of service and sacrifice. I've poured myself out totally for you in love. And so when they hear this blessing, this peace of God, and they begin to experience his presence, and he shows them the wounds of love, then it says, and they were glad that it was the Lord. That cluster of experiences that all go together with the love of God in Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again and brings his presence, that has the power to pronounce peace that will fill us and reconcile us and heal us, that puts us in a place of transformation. The peace of God is what Jesus brings with his presence. And we want to be a people who learn to recognize his presence, who learn to receive from his presence. He will go on to say with the story about Thomas, who demands to see, just like his brothers and sisters, says, I want to see the marks in your hands, I want to see it in your side. And he says, well, blessed are those who do not see. When I talk about the presence of God, it doesn't always come in a way that you can visually see it. But it's just as real. It's just as palpable. And so the Spirit of God helps us to begin to recognize when the Lord is present to us, when we're in the middle of singing and offering a song of praise. The Lord, by His Spirit, begins to teach us how to recognize when we hear Scripture read or we're reading it by ourselves, when there's just some way in which the text comes off the page, we begin to recognize the presence of the Lord. Where a brother and sister are speaking to us, and suddenly we know that it's just not the two of us. There's another presence, and we begin to hear. We begin to know the presence of the Lord. The 101 ways that the Lord comes to His people. And He comes like the risen Jesus comes in this story. He comes to speak the peace. The peace that has the power to fill us, to calm us, to drive out our worries and our fears. I've been reading a little bit about trauma. Just entry level about trauma. Those events and experiences in our lives that somehow impact us deeply. And they impact us in our thoughts. It impacts us in our feelings. Trauma has the power to somehow get in your bones. It's like carrying an embodied wound. And when you've been traumatized, it begins to create a certain kind of lens through which you see the world. And the world seems a little less bright and a little more scary and a little so unpredictable and all the things that trauma can do. And then we're coming to understand that people who have experienced trauma, I mean, there are different levels of trauma. There's the one-off kind of trauma, and there's the chronic kind of trauma, and then there's the deeply wounding, but all of them have the capacity to begin to cause us to step back and begin to look at the world differently through the wound. And what we're discovering is that, well, oftentimes in therapy, people will use art or beauty or music and beauty. Beauty and goodness and truth. And it has the capacity to get to that place where we're hurting and to invite us to shift some. I think that when we experience the presence of the risen Jesus, we experience the ultimate in beauty and goodness and truth. And probably very rarely is somebody who's been seriously traumatized in just one encounter with Jesus so moved and transformed that they don't need yet another. But what I think we see happening to these disciples who have been traumatized on at least Thursday and Friday and the darkness of Saturday, and suddenly the risen Jesus is with them and He's speaking peace in His presence. They know His presence and He shows them love. You see, that looking at His hands and side is more than just a simple recognition device. It's about love. This is the Jesus who gave Himself for us. And when you're in the presence of love, embodied love in the power of the resurrection, it has the power to touch the deepest places and begin to move us and transform us and restore to us a lens through which we could believe that there is still beauty and goodness and truth in the world, and that God is in His world. And it's only after giving His presence in this powerful way is Jesus then ready to say, "Now I send you. Now I send you." He wouldn't have wanted to send them if they were stuck in Good Friday. Those people are too wounded, too hopeless, too crushed. And so the risen Jesus comes to pull them up and to pull them out and to begin to offer them another way. And so He says once again, peace. I'm giving you all that the Father wants to give you. I'm beginning to breathe it upon you and fill you with it. And I want to send you into the world as the Father sent me. And how did the Father send Jesus? He sent Him in love. For God so loved the world. isn't the story of the book of Acts the story of men and women who are on this journey of transformation, who are finding that the presence of Jesus in their lives brings enough healing that they find themselves in the power of the Spirit, able to actually give themselves away? Not just their neediness, but give something more than themselves, something in God away. Because they've begun to look into the face of Jesus and find themselves embraced by the love of God. It's so telling to me that in this story, Jesus doesn't hand them a day timer or a book of heaven's best evangelism techniques. There's none of that. There aren't words of strategy. They're words of presence. You see, techniques and strategies and answers to what do we do come later. But they flow out of presence. They flow out of encounter. Wasn't it Deacon Trevor who at the last Renew Night reminded us that Carl Rahner said, how does it go? The future Christian will be a mystic or not at all. Which is simply to say the future of Christianity has always been dependent on the men and women who would move from the presence of Jesus into the lives of their neighbors. That's why Jesus would say to them, what he begins on this Easter Sunday, he says, I want you to hang out for 10 more days until the Spirit comes upon you. I want you to sit in my presence. I want you to seek my presence. I want you to look with the eyes of faith until you are sure that when you see my face, you see the Father's love. I want you to behold my hands inside. I want you to be embraced by the depth of what I've done for you, how I have loved you. Because I want you to go to the world with the story of what God has done for you. And isn't that what he did through the whole Gospels? How many times did Jesus heal somebody or feed somebody or bless somebody and they said, oh, we want to follow you. And he would say simply, no, you go home and tell them what God has done for you. Presence. And isn't that what Thomas gets? Isn't moving from unbelief to belief, moving from absence of encounter and presence to encountering the living Lord Jesus. Isn't that what the movement of faith is about? It's not just so he could write a book on apologetics. I mean, that has its place. But what Thomas needed, and then Jesus will say the thing that blesses all of us, it's what Peter will say. He says to those men and women he's discipling in that church, he says, you love him even though you haven't seen him. Isn't that how our experience is? We love him. We haven't seen him. But we love him and we know him and it makes our souls glad. And it's out of that place that mission is born. And if it's not, well, a lot of good things can happen because people have good strategies and techniques. But there's a difference between when a person is going out from the presence of God in the love of God in the Spirit. You see, if you want a technique or a strategy, it's really simple. You can just go to a bookstore and buy it. Order it off of Amazon. It comes to your door and you read it. But if you want to be sent in the power of the Spirit, you'll probably end up on your knees crying out to God. Lord, I can't find this in a book. Lord, I can't read my way to being what you want me to be. The technique's not working, Lord. I've shined myself up and I've spiffed up and I've memorized the verses. But Lord, I need more. And That's really why Mary Magdalene is considered the first apostle, because what did she have that the other apostles didn't have in the early morning? She had an encounter with the presence of Jesus. And late in the afternoon, the other guys get it. What do they get? An encounter with the presence of Jesus. All mission should be presence-driven, presence-centered. That's our goal, to introduce people to Jesus, the one that we've met, that has met us and embraced us. And you know what the good news is? Who knows how many locks were on the door that they were locked behind? It doesn't matter. The barriers we put up in our soul, Jesus can get through them. And no matter how great the trauma, Jesus can speak into it and begin the process of healing and transform us. I mean, the testimony of Easter Sunday by the apostles is a very simple one. We have seen the Lord, which is we have encountered his presence. And Peter will write years later, which is often true of most of us, we have known the Lord's presence. We might not have seen him in the way they did, but we have known the Lord's presence. So I don't know about you, but at this point in my life, I've quit looking for the silver lining behind clouds. I'm looking for Jesus. The hurting that I know about needs more than looking on the sunny side. The darkness that has some of our neighbors will not go away by telling them, don't worry, be happy. But a moment in the presence, seen or unseen, in the presence of the risen Lord is life-changing. Man, what must it have been like for 40 days of those folks having present encounter after prayer? But we can too. We had it last Sunday. Well, that's all I want to say today. I pray that we hunger and thirst for God's presence and don't settle for anything else. The transformative presence that reaches into the very bones of our soul and makes a difference. And if you haven't noticed, we live in a time where it's probably smart to lock your doors because the darkness is rolling in waves out there. And keeping on the sunny side won't deliver a person. But my confidence is increasing that Jesus can, that Jesus does, that every single human life will find its meaning with him. And in some ways, when Jesus shows up on that Sunday afternoon and says, peace be with you, the story of the fall in the garden is totally undone. And God is back, standing with people, being present, inviting them to be with him. And the new world begins again. The garden has come to us in the risen Christ, and we begin again. So may the Lord stir us till we settle for nothing less than being, knowing his presence, that we might go on mission in the power of the presence of Jesus. Amen. Amen.